This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharitz and Xiaoning. Now, the Minister of Finance Inc. has made offers to take over four toll highways owned by Gamuda for 4.5 billion ringgit. Now, the four concessionaires are Gamuda's subsidiaries and associate companies, namely the 70% owned Kasas Holdings, the 52% owned Associate Sprint Holdings, 44% owned Light Truck Holdings, as well as 50% owned joint venture Project Smart Holdings. Now, we're actually running a poll on this. We're asking, should the money be used elsewhere? Do tell us what you think. Your options now on the BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio, are yes, no, don't know, take over the tolls, don't know, and don't care. Please do let us know what you think.
Yeah, so I mean, we are looking at the valuation of the concessionaires. The acquisition deal is valuing the four concessionaires at the enterprise value of about 6.2 billion ringgit. So if you look at the breakdown of the enterprise value, 1.4 billion ringgit is how much Kasas is worth, 2 billion ringgit Sprint, 2.5 billion ringgit for Lee Track, and 370 million for Smart. Now this offer remains valid until July 12th, and you know, we're looking at it's subjected to several things. So, an example, satisfactory due diligence finding, approval of the cabinet, execution of a definitive agreement regarding the offer, as well as adherence to the offer of terms.
Now, Gamuda's anticipating that Putrajaya will pay cash in total of 4.5 billion ringgit, the rest funded by borrowings, 1.23 billion for Kasas, 870 million for Sprint, 2.34 billion for Litrack, and 60 million ringgit for Smart. Now, after this, what does Gamuda end up with? Because Gamuda, essentially, after this exercise, if it goes through, will be a property and a construction company. Because in the past, concessions division actually accounted for a significant portion of its profits.
But actually, some of these, not all of the highways currently that we're talking about were performing very well, right? I think some of them were underperforming. Was it the Sprint?
Yes, the Sprint is underperforming. The LDP is doing quite well. Actually, we have seen traffic volume numbers come off for some of these toll highways, especially what we call non-discretionary travel. That means usually during the weekends or after peak hours. As actually cost of living pressures have started to bite, we also have seen the impact of mass rapid transport, the trains actually taking an impact as people opt to take public transport rather than drive.
Yeah, so the list of highways that we see here is quite strategic. For example, Lee Track, it serves the Kajang and Cheras community, and I think a lot of the heavy, if you drive in the morning anywhere in the city, you would notice how bad the traffic is. And I don't know how again, there's that question whether or not buying these, taking over the concessionaires, these concessions would actually have an impact, because at the end of the day, we're not saying taking it over and then it will be sort of free-flowing toll. There will still be toll. It says the government will be applying that different timing of the day and different charges throughout the day.
Congestion charges is one of the things that the government has talked about. So there will be, I think in the initial reports, they were saying that if you drive between 12 a.m. to 5 a.m., tolls, for example, would be free. And after that, there will be congestion charges depending on the time. But this, is, of course, follows the Pakatan Manifesto Promise Number 6, which was to abolish especially urban tolls. So I guess this is part of their promise to roll it out.
So I guess if Gamuda sells these assets, essentially what we're going to be looking at is a very, very different Gamuda, because for the first half of its financial year 2019, the expressway concessions accounted for 41% of Gamuda's pre-tax profit. For the 2018 financial year, they accounted for 39% of the net profit. And not forgetting as well that Gamuda has recently divested their water assets. So last August, they let go of their 40% equity stake in water treatment firm Syarikat Pengeluar Air Sungai Selangor, or Splash. And Air Selangor actually offered almost 2.6 billion ringgit for Splash's water treatment assets at the time. And essentially, this ended the water impasse in Selangor, which had lasted for more than 10 years. So I guess this raises the question of what is Gamuda going to do with all of this cash that is raised from these divestments?
Well, based on a back-of-envelope calculation from the sale of these four highways, Gamuda's cash pile should be enlarged by an additional 3.38 billion. The question is, will they return it to shareholders? And the market speculates no, because their next big project is going to be the Penang Master Transport Plan, which is going to be capex intensive. As we know, that's a very, very large project in Penang and involves MRT, building highways. So it, I don't think that investors are going to get that special dividend they hoped.
There's still a lot of question as to who's going to fund that project as well, isn't it?
It's supposed to be privately funded, and
from the reclamation land.
Yes.
Now, of course, we also can't talk about buying tolls without bringing up Plus. And in fact, Shaning, you recently spoke to Dato' Azman Ismail. He's the managing director of Plus Malaysia, and you asked him about the possibility that the government would be taking over tolls, right?
Yes, he said that the government is actually, and this is a fact that's confirmed by our Minister of Works, Baru Bien, the government is actually looking at a working paper. The results or the outcome of that working paper should be within, in a month's time, and we will know greater detail and clarity. I think it's important how well, whether this Garuda deal, this purchase of these four highways goes through. If that goes through successfully, perhaps we will have an interesting working paper to look forward to in a month's time and the valuations for that, if it happens at all.
All right. And if you want to catch up on that conversation, you can find it on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. Now, from highways, let's turn our attention to the sugar industry as well, because the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs is remaining firm on its stance to open up the sugar industry to other players. Deputy Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Chong Chien-jen has said that there will be no policy reversals for existing sugar import permits issued. And to recap, earlier this month, the ministry approved 8 permits for Sarawak F&B manufacturers to import up to 60% of their sugar requirements.
Yeah, so this move has been met with appeals from local refiners for the government to reconsider this decision. And, you know, so if you look at the sugar industry, and, you know, if you're trying to figure out what it looks like, it's dominated by MSM Malaysia as well as Central Sugar Refinery, mm-hmm. which is CSR. Now, these two giants, they operate 5 sugar refinery plants that can produce a total capacity of about 3 million tons a year. This is double of the annual domestic demand, which, you know, stands at about 1.5 million tons. So, you know, why is this? Why is there overcapacity? You know, now, this is mainly due to MSM's plant in Johor, which was built last year.
Well, the reasoning behind the liberalisation and the granting of the APs is that the message to the local refiners is that they have actually enjoyed a long period of protectionism for too long, and they do need to be competitive. Chong says that it's unfair to local F&B manufacturers to take high costs as a fact of life. The current international sugar price of raw sugar is only 130 to 140 ringgit per kg, while refined sugar is at 180 per kg. But yet F&B manufacturers in Sarawak have been purchasing the sugar at 270 ringgit per kg.
So this essentially, they've been paying a 90 cent more per kilo than they should have been if prices were at an internationally competitive level. Now, MSM have denied that there's been any exploitation of industrial users and that they sell refined sugars to players based on the market price. And they say that industry players have been buying sugars from wholesalers, so prices aren't reflective of MSM's actual selling prices. And they've also said that when international prices increase, industry players will turn back to Malaysian refiners to buy sugar at controlled prices.
Yeah, so I mean, if we look at some of the research that's going on out there, for example, CGCIMB said that they have said that liberalisation will put extra pressure on to MSM sales volume and mm-hmm. as well as profit margins because of the lower average selling price of its refined sugar. So we're looking at who's this, you know, basically impacting. Is it the consumer? Is it just the manufacturer, the F&B? Is it, you know, who's stand to gain? At the moment, F&B, it seems that it's highlighted, F&B are the ones who has been, you know, who receives this license to import sugar. And again, the price was high. But at the same time, we have that argument that sugar prices, whether it should be raised to curb obesity, Malaysian, you know, because we rank one of the highest in the region.
Yeah, please. Recall that plans for a sugar tax were proposed at the tabling of the 2019 budget last year and was intended to promote healthy living. So reports say a 40 cent tax per litre will be imposed on soft drinks with more than 5 grams of sugar or sugar-based sweetener per 100 ml. And this includes carbonated drinks. For juice or vegetable-based drinks, 40 cents tax per litre will be imposed on drinks with more than 12 grams of sugar per 100 millilitres. And I believe the tax is supposed to go live on 1st of July.
Yeah, so initially it was supposed to come into effect in April and then it was postponed. But I think that honestly, this sugar tax is just trying to address part of a much larger issue here in Malaysia, which is that nutrition is a problem. Mm. And this is why we're seeing reports from international bodies like UNICEF, for example, that's saying that we have high rates of child stunting in the country, because it's not just the fact that it is easily accessible for children to gain access to sugary drinks. They also don't don't have as easy access to things like fresh fruits, particularly in areas where you have a high concentration of the urban poor. So this is something that, so a sugar tax for me is the first step towards a more holistic, and this is a marked divergence for me because I dislike the word holistic immensely. But that would be the right term for it, because we want to build a more holistic nutritional ecosystem for children, because this is the future labor market of the country that you're talking about.
Yeah, here. So this is interesting. When we see, if we see this exercise going through, I mean, manufacturer could see reduce production costs, and perhaps. So the question is whether or not all these soft drinks are going, you know, they are going to be cheaper. And if it's, you know, if you look at how it's being taxed, it's 40 cents tax per liter. Mm. So it's based on the base price, right? It's not based on the set price, so where the government fixed a certain price for soft drinks, for an example. And for me, the next question, I agree with what you said, Lynn, earlier, that perhaps all this tax should go into, you know, next question is healthy food. Healthy food is expensive in our country, in fact, everywhere.
Unfortunately, the studies have shown that for countries that have implemented sugar tax, and we are not the first, Chile, Colombia, Denmark, France, Hungary, Mexico, Norway, Philippines are just some of the countries that have implemented sugar tax. And what really happens if you look at the studies is that, yes, consumption patterns do change for a while, but eventually people forget and then they revert back to their own old sugary habits. Now, for sugar tax to really have an impact, it has to be so punitive that you perhaps rethink your consumption patterns. And at this rate, at what we are charging, it doesn't look that punitive, although I have to see what the retail prices will be for some of these sugary drinks. I think the manufacturers have not come up with their new pricing yet.
Now, the government has also, in another industry, managed to curb rising cement prices in Peninsula Malaysia last week after cement manufacturers sent a notice of a 40% price hike to construction companies. And our finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, said an investigation is still necessary to see whether the practice of local industrial monopolies in Sarawak were the cause of these high cement prices. Now, we're coming up to the 7:30 news, and after that, more international stories for you, including US Middle East policy. So be sure to stay tuned for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.